This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. This fourth day, is it the fourth day of Chinese New Year?
I think so.
I'm already losing time. Welcome back to all of you who are back at work or listening to us. I'm T. Xiaoyik with Shamila Gunnison and Lim Soo Ann in the studio bringing you two stories this hour. First up, what do we have?
Well, there are friends and then there are close friends. And as it turns out, making and keeping close friendships is not easy. So we talk about why close friendships are important and how we can make our existing friendships closer.
And we also have a social media poll going, and so we're asking you how many close friends do you have. So your options are none, five or fewer, six to ten, or more than 10. So you can take that poll or tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 03-7733-2900.
So speaking of friends, I'm sure we've all made many throughout the course of our lives. If we go by many people's Facebook friends list alone,
people have hundreds
of friends. But how many of these are what we can call close friends? The kind of friend that we can share intimate issues with, a friend that we can trust to be there when we need them. So this is the subject of a pretty interesting article recently in the New York Times called How to Have Closer Friendships and Why We Need Them.
Yeah, and the article also points out how for many people, most of their close friends are made when they were, you know, much younger. So making friends becomes more difficult as they become older, with work, family, and other responsibilities often taking precedence over, you know, going out to make new friends. And so if for whatever reason you don't stay connected to your childhood or college friends, you could very well end up in your 30s or older knowing a lot of people, but actually being close to very few of them, which I feel like, you know, I personally can definitely relate.
But what exactly does being close to someone mean, right? If you base this on movies or TV shows, you might think it's someone who would jump in front of a speeding car for you or be there instantly every time you call. I'm just disappointed none of my friends have done this for me.
I know. Clearly failures.
But the actual definition is possibly a lot simpler. According to Dr. Serena Chen, a social psychologist and professor of psychology at the University of California in Berkeley, the key to a close friendship is just intimacy. She goes on to say that a big part of intimacy is being able to fully be yourself around someone and to be understood by that person.
Yeah, and according to Dr. Chen, reciprocation is a very important part of this. You know, there can't be intimacy without give and take. And for it to be a close friendship, both people should feel like they're being seen. They should feel like they're being understood by the other person. So Dr. Chen further points out that this is why, you know, all the people that you might know on Facebook or Instagram don't necessarily count as close friends.
That's
they might be liking our posts, they might be affirming us, but there's not necessarily a real give and take going on.
That's right.
And we have plenty of evidence that having close friendships is beneficial to both our mental and physical health. So Dr. Amir Levine, a psychiatrist and neuroscientist who studied both humans and animals as a way to understand human bonding, says that social connections help us regulate emotional distress. So he says this, and I'm quoting him, "If you are in distress, being in proximity to someone you're securely attached to is the most effective way to calm yourself."
And to get more insight into why close friendships are important, I spoke earlier to consultant clinical psychologist and a familiar voice around here in BFM, Paul Jambunathan.
One is the definition of friendship, which for me always has an issue of what purpose does it serve? Not every relationship or not every any connection must serve a purpose. But if there's a friendship, what quality is there to it? How is it defined? Is it defined by a need and a response? Is it defined by happiness and joy shared? Is it defined by dependency? Is it defined by you need a kidney, I'll give you a kidney kind of stuff? How is the friendship defined? You're going to be a co-counselor, a proxy counselor. So now, if you go by those kinds of definitions, then it is more difficult now to answer your question because we are facing far more challenges than we've ever faced before. Far more definitive challenges like divisions of people, divisions of cultures, clear delineations that people are making broader lines of in terms of differences between people. And so for us to cross those divides, which are very wide divides, like religion, culture, value systems, is becoming more difficult. I mean, it's more difficult to sim those divides. It's more difficult to bridge those divides. So yes, it gets more difficult.
Mm.
And the challenges are getting more frequent. It is not just politics. It's not just money. It is very intimate value systems. It's not just things like sexual relationships or gender identities. They boil down to very deep things called values. Values determine attitudes. Attitudes determine behavior. And there's so many different behaviors that define friendships. You know, everyone walks around town, Shamila, saying, "Oh, Paula, he's my friend, la. I met you twice, la," you know, that kind of stuff. "He's my friend. We're an acquaintance." Even I said hello kind of stuff. By the way, for the record, we are friends. But in terms of people so frequently use these phrases frivolously, and they define things differently. They mean things differently to different people. You're a friend. You lend me $1 million because I was in debt. You're a friend. You stood by me when I was going through a tough time. Very different things. You're a friend because you didn't lend me $1 million and you helped turn my life around. Now, it works down to values and definitions of what the friendship means.
Mm. Are close friendships important, though, as we become adults?
Absolutely. I totally agree with the primary author of the article you're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
We are. We definitely are a social animal. We are a communal animal. And I think creatures that live together survive better together. And that's a plus point, because individualism also has its plus points as well. You know, this communal activity versus individualistic activity. But those in numbers, especially people with what we call very unfairly, and I don't like the term, higher order thinking or cognitive skills, where we specialize so much into specific skills like, you know, I am an engineer, I think along these lines, I am a cook, I am a more sensitive person, I am a more social person. When we specialize, we become interdependent and we become more social and communal. And that often adds to the survival rate of a community. So yes, developing that interdependency, you might call it friendship. You might call it trust. Now, if you're my friend, I trust you. I trust you with my secrets. I trust you with everything. And Shamila, it'll surprise a lot of people to realize that I've got very, very few friends.
Mm.
Maybe less than 10 friends. In all my life, 60 years plus, I've got less than 10 friends. I've got thousands of acquaintances, many associates, many colleagues I work with, but friends, the people you depend, trust with, and people who depend on you, people that you lay your life or time down for, that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are social communal, definitely.
How is a close friend different from family?
Achacha, very nice question. And it's a very contentious question. It's a wonderful question because they have two different communal circles. One you grow up with because of a genetic common pool. But it does not define the quality of the relationship. Families are divided. Families are split. Families grow separately. Given modern times and modern divisions and modern education systems, modern boundaries, you know, the necessary boundaries that arrive in modern times divide people differently. However, there's so many wonderful atmospheres and opportunities where people bind and bond differently. And the relationship that provides can make people closer, rather than because you and I share common DNA, it doesn't mean you and I are dependent on one another. Yes, you can share a kidney with Neela, but my friend and I are far more closer in terms of sharing intimate secrets and dependency and trusting one another.
Mm.
So I don't think family and friendship can ever be terms that need to be compared.
Mm.
Family might mean a legal term where you are legally bound this way, that way. And we have seen this time and again where people bequeath their quantitative accordance of love and affection in terms of money to people they value more than their family.
Mm.
And then you have these questions like, I am the brother, but he gave his whole house to somebody else. He gave it to a cat. No, he gave it to a friend that he works with in his workplace. But I don't think we should ever confuse, and it's a modern concept, I don't think we should ever confuse family by virtue of blood. Family means you are closer than a friend. I don't think that should ever arise. I think the ultimate definition that we should start developing is this issue of interdependency, trust, and the sharing of values.
Mm.
The functional sharing of values and how that works between people or groups of people, that defines what we might call friendship. There might be a new term tomorrow. However, but family does not, being a family member does not supersede that, saying, you're family, therefore we must be closer. No, I'm one of those psychologists who choose to disagree with an opinion.
Mm. And what do you think of this idea that we should actively work to make our friendships closer?
Acha, I think we should always work at what matters to us most. Let me just reduce this to a pet. If you decide to have a pet, mm-hmm. you come home every day to your pet, and the pet comes wagging its tail and says, hello, master, I'm here, and you kick it in the face. You ignore it. You forget it. The pet will develop an attitude and a relationship with you based on your responsiveness. Now, if otherwise you respond to the pet and you interact with the pet, there's a time when there's interdependency. The pet depends on you. You depend on the pet. The pet can trust you. The pet knows you will feed it on time. And then it says, I trust this person. Come life or death, come what may, come high water hell, this person is my friend. I depend on him. Now, we know many, many stories of anecdotes and real stories where friends, even strangers, and that's a good point, actually, even strangers have qualified closer than friends and family because of shared values and the values that actually make a functional effect on one another.
Mm.
So yes, we have to work at it. The main thing we have to work at is not really the definition or the understanding of the term, but how we express it, how we understand it, and how we express it, how we exercise that value. That's what matters most. We can preach and define and hold a definition as a dictionary definition. But how we express it, define it, and use it functionally, I think that's what defines a friend.
That was consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan talking about why close friendships are so essential. I, for instance, am currently being rather amused by my friend Sue Ann. But he's talking about why close friendships are so essential and why we need to work to maintain them.
And if you want to catch more of Paul, he's in for his open clinic on mental health next Wednesday, that's 5th February, on the Health and Living Hour at 4 p.m. And that's the show where he answers all your questions about mental and emotional concerns, anything that you're going through in your personal or professional lives, that he can give like his professional opinion on. What do we have on social media related to this, the question that we were asking?
So we were asking you, how many close friends do you have? And so the results have come in. So 56 or almost 57% of you say it's 5 or fewer, with 25% of you say it's 6 to 10 people, 16% saying it's none, and about 2% says more than 10. Okay. So you can continue taking that poll or tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, or you can also call us 03-7733-2900.
I must say, the fact that 16% of people say they have no close friends is quite indicative of what this article that we're discussing is talking about.
That's right.
That many people actually don't have what they call
close friends, and such a small number, 2% have more than 10. Mm. Yeah. It's really, you can count them on your hands, the number of people you consider close enough.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, is it also because of the world we live in, right, where everything is on your phone, where you are constantly communicating with people through your social media feeds, and so that's not exactly what you would call close friends versus meeting someone in person, sharing your stories.
Mm. And, Paul ended on the note about working to build close friendships, you know, putting in the effort. And the New York Times article that started off our conversation today, How to Have Closer Friendships and Why We Need Them, puts forth five suggestions on how you can make your existing friendships closer. Mm. So number one is to create a foundation of security. So for there to be closeness, people need to feel secure in the relationship. This means that the people involved should be consistent, reliable, and available. This doesn't mean that they need to be replying to your every text or always be free to meet up whenever you want them to. But it's more about there being this baseline of reliability. Right. You know? So for instance, if you have friends who constantly flake out on plans with you, or they don't consistently return your messages or phone calls, you're unlikely to reach that kind of closeness with them.
Mm. Yeah, and another technique to having close friendships is really just to pay attention to that person. So when someone is speaking to you, you give them giving them the full attention helps to both create a stronger bond between the two of you, but also for you to pick up non-verbal cues that can help with building closeness and empathy.
Mm. And that kind of relates to what you also said just now, right? That in a very digitalized relationship, it's difficult to build that kind of a connection because you're rarely ever speaking to each other in person.
Mm. Yeah. The only cues you're reading are your emojis.
Yeah. That's right. Thank goodness for emojis.
So another technique, and it might honestly be a lot easier said than done, I think, is to be yourself. Because they say that if you want to establish a close friendship, you won't do it if you're pretending to be smarter or cooler than you actually are. Mm-hmm. Similarly, being vulnerable, sharing your flaws, our insecurities, also helps to establish a more empathetic and closer friendship.
Yeah, I do find that for me, that's why some of my closest friends are those I've made earlier in life. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was, a few people in those awkward college years coming and bonding over that.
Yeah.
I didn't feel the need to have to impress them, especially when you I feel like in adulthood, when you make friends, there is a need to present a facade.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah. And so... you're not yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. Whereas friends, it really depends, of course, on personalities and different stages of life. But my closest friends are those really, you can be as silly and goofy as you can be around them, and they totally get that. Mm-hmm. Here's another interesting idea from the New York Times article. Take your friends on a test drive. because you might find that when you're suddenly in a pinch, you don't know whether you're actually close enough to someone to ask for help.
Right.
But, if you test it out, for instance, the next time you need help with something, you try asking a particular friend to see whether they might say yes. It's a low risk way of testing the waters and might also help you to build closeness with this friend.
Yeah, I actually kind of like that idea of testing.
Shamila will be like, I need help with something.
Now we know.
Oh, come on. Well, fine. Both of you won't be it, okay? And the final technique to building closer friendships, actually, it's just accepting that each person has a different idea of closeness. There is no one-size-fits-all, idea of what being close means. Some of us may need dozens of connections. Some of us may only need two or three friends, which actually means, people might be quite happy with just one or two close friends.
Mm. Yeah. We shouldn't judge that number that we saw. Yeah. So most of the people replying to our poll on Twitter said less than five, right?
Yes.
But that could very well just be the average. Mm-hmm. And as long as there are friendships that mean something to you, that's good enough.
Yeah, as long as you have at least one person that you feel close enough to consider a close friend, I think is already something.
Yeah. And we have also another tweet from Mr. Flat White saying that I have less than five close friends, and two of them are actually my brother and my sister. So my siblings are actually my closest friends.
Mm. Oh, wow. Two for price of one.
Yeah. I mean, you hear extremes of that, actually. You hear about siblings who are very, very close to you. And of course, sadly, you also hear of families where the siblings don't get along at all. So yeah. Again, it's to each his or her own. If you have any thoughts, anything else you'd like to share about this idea, close friendships, you can still tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'll go for a quick break. Here's the Rembrandts with I'll Be There For You.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.